to be able to say, it is well with my soul. That means no matter what's going on, I have peace. Thank you, Jesus. Through our trials, because there'll be trials. A lot of us have gone through trials this year alone. But because of our faith, we can say, it is well. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for that power in our lives. I thank you for your presence in our lives. Lord, I thank you that we can go to you any time of day or night, that we have a direct line of communication with you, Lord. It's called prayer, and that you've set that up for us so that we can be connected to your power. You are the source of the power in our lives. And so I thank you for how you've been working in our lives, Lord. I thank you that you have touched the lives of everyone in this room, Lord, whether they know it or not, Lord. You have been working in their lives. And Lord, I pray that they realize that, they acknowledge you in all things, and that they are able to say, it is well with my soul. And so, Lord, we thank you this morning. We praise you this morning. We lift your name high, name above all names. The name Jesus alone has such power that we could just speak your name. Lord, when we gather with others when they're going through trials, when we go to sit with others and comfort them, Lord, we bring you with. We bring your power with, Lord. It is not us alone in that room, but you're in that room. And so, Lord, it's that gift of presence, it's that gift of power, it's that gift of prayer that we bring to help comfort others. And we thank you for all of that this morning, Lord. Would you be with us in the remainder of this service, Lord? Would you bless it? Would you help us to bring glory to you, Lord? And would we take a little bit of you? Nah. Would we take a bit of you with us as we walk out today? We love you, Lord. Thanks for loving us. Amen. Well, we lose things all the time, right? You guys lose things. You lose your keys. You lose your wallet. You lose your glasses. They might be right up here, but, you know, we lose them for a little bit. Sometimes kids, especially those teenagers, we got one turning a teen today alone, right? 13. Sometime around that 13, 14, 15, we lose things. We're just like, our brain gets this washed. But I mean, it's just a thing of life. We lose things. And you're running out the door. I've done this so many times. And I'm like, oh, where did I put that? I needed to grab that. Where's that at? You can't find your phone or your keys or something. And you're frantically looking around. You retrace all your steps, right? And you finally find it. Thank you, God. I literally stop and I say, thank you, Lord. Every time I rejoice in what is found. For the life of me, I can't figure out what... Oh, this is what it was. Sorry, I lost my phone the other day. For the life of me, I couldn't figure out what I did with it. I honestly thought I left it on the table at the restaurant. And I thought, oh, man... I don't want to have to get in the car after I got home and got comfy. I don't want to have to get in the car and go back to the restaurant. So I look around, I retrace my steps, and I think, let me go look in the car. And then I get this idea. You know that Bluetooth connection thing we use now that we're able to talk while we're driving? And so I said, well, if I press this button and I tell it to call someone and it does, then hot dog, my phone is in the car, right? And so I do that. I press the button and I say to call my mom, but she's programmed in my phone as Mother Texas. It's a little joke. She's my only mom, but she's Mother Texas. And so I tell it to call my mom, and it starts ringing, and I'm like, yes! She's like, hello? And I'm like, yes! I found my phone! She's like, what? Hello? And I said, oh, sorry, Mom. How you doing? My phone was lost, and now it is found. And so, yeah, we rejoice in that. And so I get a beep on the other line. It's my husband beeping in, calling me, because he's also trying to find my phone. You see, the phone has some value. I mean, not that it costs so much, but I got a lot of information. I got a lot of contacts. I use my phone a lot, right? So we wanted to find what was lost, and boy, did we rejoice in it. So today, as we continue in our study of parables, we have a 3-in-1 today. And so we'll be looking at the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the lost son. These are all found in Luke chapter 15. If you have your Bible with today, you could turn to Luke chapter 15. If you have a phone with you today, you can turn to Luke chapter 15. These three in one that we get today, these parables, they highlight God's persistent search for the lost and the great rejoicing in heaven when one is found. This Luke chapter 15, sometimes referred to as the gospel within the gospel, it's a great place to start to begin telling people about the good news. So I'm going to go ahead and read it. Now, I wanted to point out the beginning of it here. It starts out saying that there were tax collectors and sinners, and they were all gathering around to listen to Jesus. Now, you know who takes fault with that is these Pharisees, these religious leaders. What? This man, Jesus, welcomes sinners? He eats with them? That is, Jesus' response to that comment is these three parables. And so he begins to tell them, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. And then the parable of the lost coin. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And then the parable of the lost son. Jesus continues to say, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. And not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, and he set off for a distant country. And there he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself to a citizen of that country who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son. He threw his arms around him and kissed him. This son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. And when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants over and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you, never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him? My son, the father said, You are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. The parable of the lost sheep, which is the first one that we read. It's a shepherd that leaves the 99 sheep to go after one that wanders off. So this emphasizes that God actively seeks after us. He actively seeks after and searches for the lost. You see, he draws them in, and he does not want anyone to be left out of his kingdom. So he actively searches. That's who our God is. And he has great joy over just one repented sinner. So this lost sheep, innocent, that's what sheep do, led astray, represents those who wander off, maybe without even intending to. And then the parable of the lost coin. You see, this woman diligently searches for this one coin. She has others, but she lost one. And it has value to her. This shows how God values each individual, even when the lost might come through actions or other circumstances. She valued each coin. The lost coin symbolizes a lost soul. That lost soul holds great value in the eyes of the owner, God, who will search then until they are found. The parable of the lost son. The son goes off. He uses all of his money and partying and whatnot. But he remembers his father. He remembers where he came from. He remembers that love. So he picked himself up in all his shame and he returned home. Sometimes we find ourselves there. We've wandered away. Sometimes it's not intentional. Sometimes it's based on neglect. And sometimes it's based on choices we make. But if you know our Heavenly Father, you know his love for you. And at some point, you're going to reach rock bottom, like he did, in with the pigs in the mud. And you're going to come back to your father because you're going to remember that he loves you and that he actively seeks you out. So this son, he's a rebellious son. He leaves only to return in repentance. See, that's a key part of this. Is we return, but we must repent of our old ways, of our sins, and be forgiven by a father. And that's what this son does. We hear him say it twice. We hear him think it in his head when he's preparing to come back, and we hear him say it to his father. He's like, I'm not even worthy of being your son. That's how we feel when we have rebelled against God. We feel shame and guilt. But we also know who our God is. And we know he's a loving father and a faithful father and a forgiving father. And so this father forgives his son. He's like, I'm not worried about the things that you did. I am so grateful that you have found your way back. And I'm celebrating in that. You are now found. So that parable highlights those who are lost through their own will, their own choices, and rebellion. These parables illustrate different ways of being lost. We know there are lost, but some of them are unwitting, wandering, just like the sheep, right? Their lack of awareness. You know, sheep, they look down and they're nibbling on the grass, and all of a sudden they find themselves way over here, away from the rest of the sheep. They didn't mean to do it. They just kind of got lost. Many people today are lost and are far from God. And our response should be that of a shepherd. We should go after them until they are found. In this story, when the sheep is found, what does the shepherd do? He puts the sheep up on his shoulders joyfully and brings it home. And he tells people, right? He tells his friends and his neighbors, I found my sheep. I found my sheep that was lost. You know that feeling you get as a parent if you've had kids when your child wanders off and gets separated from you? Ooh. I remember shopping with my mom as a kid. Oh my goodness, shopping with mom. I had to go clothing shopping with her so she could find things for work. Boring. I remember, I was talking to her about this the other day, Lake Jackson Mall. It wasn't that big of a mall, but it was a big deal to us. We had to drive like 45 minutes or so for the nearest mall. And she would be shopping in Dillard's or JCPenney. Ugh. Now here's the thing. When you shop with women, it's not just you grab it and you go to the checkout. Especially if you're shopping for clothes. There's a lot of trips back and forth from the clothing rack to the dressing room, right? You got to try it on. Do I like the way it looks on me? Oh, that's the wrong size. You go back out and you look for another size. And maybe it's not in the color or print of your choice, so you look to another color or print. And you go back and you try that on. And you're trying to make all these decisions. Boring. I would often find some place to sit, right? And sometimes, oh yeah, it was in the middle of the clothes rack. Yeah, my mom did not like when I did that. So here's the thing. But she would look for me. She didn't just leave me, right? And she would eventually find me. And man, was I grateful to be found. Because for a moment, I kind of got scared thinking I lost her. But she was truly grateful, even though she was upset at me for, you know, messing around. She was grateful that I hadn't wandered out into the mall or something worse. But two things here. One, she searched for me because I was lost. And two, she searched for me because I had value. She loved me. And so we search for those that are lost. And we rejoice over those that are found. It doesn't matter how they are lost. The fact is, they are lost and they must be found. And then the lost coin represents loss through maybe neglect. Coins don't lose themselves, right? So this coin's lostness was the collateral damage of someone's actions, whatever that may have been. Some people will lose their faith somewhere along the way, and possibly it's due to some neglect or damage on the part of the church. And that right there really bothers me. Church hurt, division, squabbles. I often wonder what a watching world thinks about that, looking in at the church. These are supposed to be Christians behaving a certain way, being good representatives of Christ out in the world. So some people, they might lose their faith or fall away from God because of action on our part, because of neglect on our part. Maybe it's because of our complacency. We become complacent. We become comfortable. Maybe we're more consumed about the 99, while the while there is one lost who is heading on a pathway straight to hell. I love y'all. I love this church. I love Wyoming NAS. I love gathering together on Sunday mornings. It's one of my favorite things, right? I love this day. I love getting with you guys with prayer and fellowship. I think that is awesome. I love the ministries we have with the kids and the youth and all that's coming up. I love spending time with the 99 here. But you know what I love more? Is bringing people to Jesus. So sometimes we have to go out there, right, to find the lost. And so if we're supposed to represent Jesus and we're supposed to go bring people to Jesus, then we probably should love Jesus and love others, right? So Lord, help us. Help us to find our identity in God's heart for the lost. Do you know that He hurts? He has a burden for the lost. Having a heart of God, that will help us overcome any differences, any ways that we might neglect others. So looking at this scripture of the lost coin, let us light a lamp, like it says. That woman lights a lamp so she can go looking around. Let us light a lamp with the word of God, and let us sweep through Holy Spirit, sweep through here. Bring us conviction about our complacency, about our squabbles, any bitterness that we may have in our hearts. Convict us sometimes of this unforgivable spirit that we might have with others. And let us search carefully and diligently for the lost. That's how she searches for that one coin. So, church, let us become just the church that it says according to Scripture in Ephesians, without stain, without wrinkle, holy and blameless. Let us not be divided. You know, that's what the enemy wants. He's trying to get right in the middle of us. No, don't let us go there, church. Oh, God, give us your heart for the lost. Let us not be a stumbling block or a hinder from anyone coming to Jesus. So sometimes that loss is unintentional. We don't mean it. We don't know it. Sometimes that loss is part of neglect, and sometimes it's because of the church. But then there's another loss, as we see in the lost son, and that is because of rebellion. That is choice, free will. We do what we want to do. And we get further and further away from God. So this last parable of the lost son emphasizes that God's grace and love pursue us all, regardless of the nature of our straying. So they teach us that God values every individual soul, and he orchestrates a search for the lost, and he celebrates their return to fellowship. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now is found. That father says, let's celebrate. Let's bring out the best. Fatten calf, robe, ring. We are celebrating and rejoicing in what is found. That illustrates exactly how God is when one, just one sinner, is found and brought back to him. Three things to remember: value, joy, restoration. There is value in each individual. That's how God sees us. Each of these parables underscores that no lost soul is insignificant to God. The shepherd, the woman, the father, they each demonstrate the immense value that they have placed on the lost. They didn't stop searching. They searched diligently. And so this message for you today is that you have value. God sees you. He says in his word that you are his masterpiece. That's hard to comprehend, isn't it? We don't have people usually coming up to us and say, hey, you're a gem. You're a treasure. You're a masterpiece. No, but God says that about you. That's what his word says. And you are worth running after. That's what he does. Just like in that parable of the lost son, the father sees his son at a distance. I can just picture the scene. He sees him and his arms do this. His arms open wide. This is my son who was lost. But look, he's alive and he's coming back. He runs to his son. What a scene, right? An old dude running. But anyway, he runs towards his son. That's joy, right? That's joy. That's the same joy God feels for you when you turn from your sin. Let's see, from sin and to him. I should turn this way, huh? That's how he feels. He's joyful. There is joy in heaven. Great rejoicing when one repents and returns to God. Luke 15:7, it says here, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. So there is value. We have value. And then there is joy in heaven when we are found. And restoration and fellowship. The ultimate goal of God's pursuit is not just finding us. That's wonderful. But it's restoring us. It's restoring that lost relationship and bringing us back into fellowship with God. A right relationship with God is the gift received through faith in Jesus. You see, sin separated us from God. That wasn't how it was supposed to be. But it made this gap, right? But Jesus bridged that gap. He made a way from us to God again. God made us to fellowship with Him. Sin messed that up. So God says, I can't have that. I need to make a way. He wants not only to find us and bring us back, but He wants to restore our relationship with Him. God is a relational God. He's not just a big God who created the world and then walked away. He wants a relationship with each one of you. And what does that look like? Well, that looks like communicating with Him, spending time with Him, talking to Him. Tell Him all about everything. Lay it down to Him. He wants to restore your heart, restore your mind, restore everything about you. We've seen Him restore health with a lot of our friends and family recently. But you know, he's the God of restoration. He can restore anything in your life, whatever you're battling here and whatever you're battling in your heart. But you got to come to Him. He wants that relationship with you. He wants to restore you. That was His plan from the beginning, when He created us, to have relationship with us. So that is why we search for the lost until they're found, because the lost matter to Jesus. The lost matter, and they should matter to us too. It says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. They should matter to us. Oh God, give us Your heart for the lost. Begin the work in us. The very Son of God ran after you, and He ran after me. I know when He found me, He had to go through a whole bunch to get to me, a whole bunch of uck and nastiness, right? Self-centeredness, despair. But He went through it to get to me. He is an active God. He actively searched me out. He did the same for each of you. He is actively seeking you today. Maybe you're in a relationship with you, but He's wanting you to go deeper. He is actively searching you, and He will go through everything. He went through the cross to get to us, to restore His relationship with us. The good shepherd goes after the lost until he finds that lost sheep. So we too need to not give up on finding the lost in this day. People need Jesus more than ever today. We should have a burden for the lost. It should bother us that people don't know Him, because He's so good. He's so good, and He can transform anything. The truth is, there is evil in this world. That should bother us. There's evil in this world, and it is creeping closer and closer to us. That's not meant to scare you. That's meant to make you aware that we are in a battle. It's called spiritual warfare. Now, Ephesians tells us that we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but we're fighting against evil rulers and authorities of this unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. People are believing lies. Evil is taking over people's hearts and their minds. People have no compassion or care for human life. People have no regard for one another. They say and they do whatever they please. Their hearts are corrupt. They need Jesus. We are the people to help bring Jesus to them. People are losing their minds. People are losing their lives. It's sick. It's wrong. And it's downright heartbreaking. And unfortunately, it's going to get worse. We know times are going to get worse. So we, as a church, need to be in prayer. If you don't have a prayer life, get one today. Start somewhere. Dear Lord, acknowledge Him. We need You. Sometimes we don't have the words, but the Holy Spirit will help us. Simple prayer as, dear Lord, We need you. We need to stay alert and be in persistent prayer is what Scripture says. You ever seen that movie War Room? Anybody seen War Room? Yeah. I think we need to watch it again. We got a clip from War Room. A battle, but you know what? We have God on our side. And our weapon is prayer. This is our battle plan. Serious, specific, strategic prayer. Because you know the enemy? We talked about it today in class. He's prowling around. He's always roaming around looking for a place to get in and attack. So we need to be ready. We need to be on the offense. The enemy has been strategizing and scheming way too long. He's been coming after our minds, after our hearts, after our emotions, our families. Oh yeah, we should get upset. Enough is enough. His reign of terror stops here. He might be coming, but he won't have victory. You see, his plan starts failing when we start praying. Wyoming Naz, I want us to be known as a praying church. Not a church who prays, a praying church. We need to be in prayer all hours these past few days. I'll turn a corner literally and stop and pray. I should be doing that all along, not just because of whatever's happened recently. Right? I have woken up at certain hours, and instead of, oh, flipping on Facebook or something, I've been going to prayer. That's our weapon. We need to utilize that weapon. If we want our hearts whole and grounded in God's truth, if we want to experience all of God's promises, if we want our spouses and our children to live out the plan and purpose that God has made for them, if we want a fence of protection around us, if we want the devil and his plans to go back to the pit of hell where he came from, then church, we need to be praying. We need to be a praying church. Prayer should be our first response, not an afterthought. We need to pray with focus and with precision and fervently. That word I have trouble saying. That word fervent, it's enthusiastically. It's with passion. It's with great intensity of spirit. The word fervent, it means hot. There's no room for lukewarm. That'll be spit out. We need to be hot with prayer. It's our weapon in this fight. It is what allows us to cooperate and partner with God in fulfilling His will here on earth. Prayer is a portal. It opens up the heavens and it brings the heavens down to earth. So, church, we must pray. The Bible says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. All times, it says it right there. Not just when things are bad. All times we should be in prayer. We want to be people who stand strong, who fight the good fight, who finish the race in which we will not even think about letting the enemy have his way. We pray because we are serious about taking back the ground that the evil one has sought out to take from us. He wants to see us powerless. He wants to disarm us and discourage us. He wants to see us quiet and prayerless. Oh, yeah, I got him now. Mm-mm. Prayer is the mechanism that leads us into the heart, the power, and the victory of Christ. Without prayer, we're defeated, and we will not be defeated, church. So let's pray. Lord, we need you. Lord, we believe in your power, Lord, and we ask that you reign in the hearts and the minds of people today, Lord. We know there's evil out there, but we know your power is greater, and we will see victory in your name. So, Lord, that is why we pray your name, Jesus, over circumstances. We pray your name, Jesus, over people that are hurting. We pray your name, Jesus, over violence. We pray your name, Jesus, over addiction. We pray your name, Jesus, over depression. We pray your powerful name, Jesus, over this world, Lord. People need to know you, to receive you, to acknowledge you, to turn away from their sinfulness and to turn towards you. Lord, I pray victory in the hearts of these people that want to get on Facebook and just argue nonsense. Lord, it's because they don't know you. It is nonsense that they are saying because they don't know the truth. Your word. You are the truth. You are the way. You are the life, Lord. And so I pray that people come to you, that they find a way that somebody in their life speaks of you, that there's a situation in their life where they have nowhere else to turn but you. Lord, draw them in. Lord, we pray your name over all these evil things. Sometimes we feel helpless. Like, what can I do against this world? Well, Lord, we can pray. Because we know that you have power over these situations. That in the end, you're going to win. So, Lord, we thank you that you are in control today. You're in control of everything. And so we don't put our faith in, you know, the people that are leading. We put our faith in you and how you will lead them, how you will give them wisdom and guidance, and how you will speak into their hearts and their minds. Lord, we need you. Lord, we believe in you. Lord, we trust in your way above all ways. So, Lord, we pray. We pray with precision. We pray with power. We pray that your will be done here on earth as in heaven. Lord, we ask you to help us with whatever's happening right here in our own church, in our own homes, in our own minds, Lord. Would we defeat the enemy in our homes and in our minds before we go out and defeat the enemy in this world, Lord? Would you help us? Would you help us to get our relationships right with you? Lord, you purify our hearts and purify our minds, Lord. We pray for your power and your presence in our homes, in our families, in our minds. Lord, would you strengthen us, strengthen our faith, Lord. Lord, thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for going before us, around us, all around us, behind us, Lord. Thank you for actively seeking us out. Thank you for running after us, Lord. May we run after others and bring them to you. So, Lord, I thank you that you're an active God and that you are working in all things right now. And your word says that in all things, you will work it out to the good of those who believe. Lord, we believe. We thank you that you're the God who you say you are. We thank you for your promises. We thank you for your love. Lord, would you help us to have your heart for the lost? We love you, Lord. We pray all these things in your powerful name. And the church today says it together. Amen. Amen. We're going to finish here with Amazing Grace. You can grab your hymnal. I believe it's 85.